So here's Dr. Polkinghorne presenting another case.
So this is a 62-year-old woman, longtime smoker, significant COPD. She's the mother of one of our providers who has underlying active multiple sclerosis. So she initially was treated when she was stage 3 with chemotherapy and radiation therapy, chemotherapy being carboplatin paclitaxel. Durvalumab was not provided at that time at stage 3 because of a concern about the multiple sclerosis. However, she then progressed with bilateral lung metastasis, progressive dyspnea, required oxygen, and she did seek an opinion regarding the use of nivolumab with underlying multiple sclerosis. She clearly does not have great oxygen carrying capacity with her ambulation. Her COPD is very significant. So that's why the critical part of this is, you know, any worsening of her lung cancer in the lungs, and she's in big trouble. The decision was made because of a lack of options and potential benefit to proceed with nivolumab. The neurologist reduced a lot of her medications for multiple sclerosis that she felt might conflict with the nivolumab, and she had a dramatic response until she obtained autoimmune pneumonitis from the nivolumab, and it definitely had to be stopped. She received corticosteroids. You could see the pulmonary effects of the autoimmune pneumonitis resolve. You could see the radiation pneumonitis continue. But remarkably, now many months after stopping all of that, there are no further lung lesions. So my questions to the panel would be, how do you make these tough decisions with people with autoimmune diseases yet really potentially could benefit from a checkpoint immune therapy?
And Leora, just to cap it off, the patient was PD-L1 negative. I actually presented this case to Julie Bramer, and I said, have you ever seen this? And she said, well, yeah, I have one patient I treated also. And I said, what happened? And she said, the multiple sclerosis stayed the same, and she went into CR. So I don't know if that's a series of two, but it just seems like a very deeply, you know, difficult situation for an oncologist to be in to face this decision.
You know, it's hard. I can add a third patient to that, although I didn't treat them, but they came to me for a second opinion after their MS got worse on their checkpoint inhibitor. Their cancer is great now, but their MS has required additional therapy. You know, it's hard because in patients with metastatic disease, it's a quality of life issue. And in addition to longevity, and I'm a big believer that quality of life trumps longevity. And so that's great. You can cure their lung cancer, but suddenly they're in a wheelchair or dependent on family for full care. So I think it's a difficult discussion to have with patients. This patient that I saw as a second opinion had really pushed their oncologist after chemo hadn't worked, and they wanted something, and they said they didn't really care if their MS got worse if they were alive. But I've had those discussions with my own patients, and I've said, well, there is this drug. It's got a 10 to 30%. It's not like a TKI. It's not like this 70% chance of working for years. It's a 10 to 30% chance of working depending on which second line trial you look at. And so I think it's an important discussion to have with those patients because this patient's fortunate, but there could have been a far worse outcome.
Yeah, I think certainly should not be thought about in any kind of a cavalier means at all. It also brings up the question, and, you know, certainly maybe hesitate at clearly, I think, in a stage 3 situation where they could be cured, but I think even first line, maybe hesitate quite a bit.